Good morning, my beloved brethren and sisters. It almost feels a bit like it's right in your face. For 42 years, my parents hosted a bonfire night at their farm for Cambridge Meeting, and it was a wonderful time of working together, fellowship, massive piles of burning rubbish, farm fire, fireworks, eating hot baked potatoes, and drinking mulled apple juice. And after the fire, it was back to my parents' house for food and Bible study. And they were great evenings of fun and fellowship. I remember one particular night, brethren and sisters. It was foggy, really, really thick fog. And we were right down, it was the one year that we were right at the bottom of the field. Right, it was a good distance from the road, and when we were near the fire, it was okay because we had the light of the fire, and that illuminated us, and it kept us warm because as the fog came in, it just got colder, so we could see and we were warm. But as we started to move away from the fire, we just disappeared into the fog. You couldn't really see a thing. It was so dense, and I'm not exaggerating, brethren and sisters, because I do remember this, and I remember it was at certain times you couldn't see more than about 6 feet in front of you. It was that dense. We lived in the fens where the fog would really settle thick, and when it came to the time to leave the fire, couldn't see our way across the field. Knew where we were. Knew that it was roughly over there, and that's where we had to go. But we had to venture off into the fog, not being able to see where we were going. And we had the bonfire behind us, so we had this light behind us as we walked across the field. And as we walked away from the fire, the fog started to close in around us, and it got colder, and the light faded. The light was there behind us. But as we went into the fog, we started to get cold and isolated. And eventually we got home, we found our way. But it was a chilling and lonely experience. And that's probably 40 years ago, brethren and sisters. I still remember it very clearly. As we groped our way through the fog, in the darkness, across the field, trying to guess where we were going. And it struck me, brethren and sisters, that that's much like ecclesial life. The ecclesia, Sunday, the breaking of bread are all like the fire. They give light. They give warmth. We have fellowship together here at Darlington, at Wardley, at Cambridge where I was back then, or whatever ecclesia, they give warmth. And when we open God's word together, it lights our path, doesn't it? And it guides us. And you're probably thinking, brethren and sisters, about how that happened through Scripture. Exodus. God used light to guide his people, didn't he? Exodus 13. It's in the wilderness. You know it very well. Exodus 13, just at the end of the chapter there, verses 21 and 22. And the children of Israel are in the wilderness, and it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud. He led his people by day and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So through the wilderness, of 40 years in the wilderness, God has in front of his people these guiding lights, this pillar of cloud in the day and this pillar of fire in the night, guiding his people just as they wandered through the wilderness. And brethren and sisters, we wander in this world, don't we? There's that phrase we know so well, isn't there? To be in the world, but not of the world. And we wander in the world. And God has provided for us in very similar way as to when Israel had the pillars of fire and cloud. You see, brethren and sisters, God never leaves his people. Our loving Heavenly Father is our guiding light. He is our light in the darkness of this world. And if we look around, we will see it. We will see that light of God. We will have something to follow. His light is there for anyone to see if they look for it and follow it and follow the light. And if we keep focused on that light, brethren and sisters, we will never get lost. Because that's God's promise to us, isn't it? That his word will be a lamp unto our feet a guiding light. It will show us the way. And as I said, at the end of the evening, as we walked away from the fire, I could see nothing in front of me to guide me. No landmark, nothing I could see to follow, only the fog in front of me and the fire behind me. But no matter where I went in that field, the fire was blazing there in the background. Now, obviously, the further I went away from the fire, the smaller it got, and the light started to fade. But it was always there. I could see it through the dark fog. It was my guiding beacon in this world of darkness. And it kept me on course with the fog, because it was a point of reference for me. It was always there. So I knew roughly where I was as I stumbled through the fog. But as we got further away, the light started to fade. It became smaller, as I said. And that's, brethren and sisters, again, thinking of ourselves and the Ecclesia and what we do here on a Sunday. That's why we need to be here every Sunday. We need that guiding light of our Ecclesia, of the fellowship of our brethren and sisters. We need that in our lives to keep us on the true path, to keep us safe in the darkness, to be that point of reference that's always there for us, that no matter where we go, we've got that there, knowing it's there, helping us, looking after us. And it's only when we turn away from the light that we get in trouble, isn't it? Every Sunday, brethren and sisters, we leave this place. We have to go home. We have to go back to our homes. We can't stay here all week. But every Sunday, we turn our backs on the Ecclesia. We walk away. And we need to come back. We need to be re-energized. Just like the fire, as I turned away, I couldn't see the fire directly. There was a glow behind me, but I couldn't see it directly. And the warmth faded. I couldn't feel the warmth on my face anymore. I felt it on my back, but not on my face. And like I said, I could have that glow was behind me, but they faded. And that's exactly the same for us, brethren and sisters. As we walk away from the Ecclesia, the warmth and the light of God's fellowship starts to fade. The moment we leave, we start thinking about what we're going to have for lunch, where we're doing. All those things, they start to take over our lives again, don't they? And it starts to fade. And that's exactly, like you said, that's what happens. The light of God's word fades. What we have here in this moment, in the Ecclesia, this fellowship together, it is so special. It is so different to anything else we have in our lives. Here at the Ecclesia, we benefit from the warmth and fellowship of meeting around God's word. But it's not just a Sunday, is it, brethren and sisters? There are other opportunities through the week to rekindle the fire, to benefit from the warmth of fellowship. Back to the bonfire. Now, the next morning, the fire that had once been blazing, and we had some good fires. You know, the length of this room, probably some of the farm fires. We used to get a trailer and go round and fill it up from rubbish from people in the village and just get it all on there. But the next morning, that blazing, magnificent fire was smouldering embers. Again, this is the challenge for us, brethren and sisters. What kind of Ecclesia are we? What kind of brethren and sisters are we? Do we blaze with the light of the bonfire, or are we the ashes and smouldering embers? Does the vibrancy of God's word shine as a light in our life? Or is our Ecclesia, as I said, are we just those smouldering ashes? Do we glow with enthusiasm and spirituality, brethren and sisters? Or has our fire faded? Have we lost our first love? That's the accusation, isn't it? That they lost their first love. Have we done that, brethren and sisters? Has our fire faded? Whether it's the pressures of work or retirement or education or health or whatever, these things can take over our lives, can't they? And they become a real challenge in our lives. And I'm not dismissing that for a moment. But they can challenge us. And they can take over us. And they can drag us down. And we can get distracted. we can be pulled away from the light of God's word. And it's the same, you know, the children of Israel in the wilderness, where even though they had that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire, they got overfaced by the challenges of the wilderness. When they were hungry, when they were thirsty, when they were struggling, they were in that wilderness walking around for 38 years. They had challenges. But they needed God's word in their lives, and all they had to do was look and see fire and the smoke, day and night, every day, every night, for their entire journey in the wilderness. God was there. And just thinking about those ashes for a moment, brethren and sisters, you see, the thing is with ashes and the bonfire was that the next morning when we went back to the bonfire, we'd take our pitchforks and we'd round it up, because there was always bits around the edge that weren't burned, and we'd round it up and get it to the middle. And then if we did that, and if we looked after the fire and went back each day and just rounded it up a bit more, a week later we could really still have some lovely glowing embers, because there was a lot of it. So, you know, it took a while. But, we could definitely... I remember my dad saying that he remembered one fire that went on for about 2.5 weeks afterwards. But just slowly, each day, he'd go and he'd just tidy up a bit more, and those embers would glow. And again, it's just the same for us, brethren and sisters. If we walk away and do nothing, next week there'll be just nothing. There'll be ashes. But if we put in that effort, if we maintain it, if we put in and we put the effort in with the readings and the fellowship through the week and Bible class and all those other things that we can do, if we put that effort in and we maintain it, then when it comes to this week, we'll have lovely glowing embers ready that we can burst into flames again with the fellowship of our time together. And now, sticking with the theme of fire, but changing the idea a little bit, there was when the ancients built roads, one of the ways that they used to keep the roads straight was that they would light fires. And they'd start over there and they'd light a fire, and then the guy goes, well, I need to go over there and I can see the fire over there, so I'm going to light this fire here, and the smoke would go up in the air, and then they'd travel over there and they could see the two fires. And they go, oh, okay, I can get myself in line with that fire, and then I can get in a straight line, and they could do that, but they're having these columns of smoke, and they could see where they were going, and they could line up. And we again, brethren and sisters, the lesson for us, do we have a regular line of meetings and fellowship behind us to keep us on the straight and narrow path? Or are there gaps? Are there one or two fires off to one side that shouldn't really be there? Or is it the smoke starting to fade into the distance? Have we made sure that our fires are marking our way, showing us the way, guiding us the best that we can? Because if we leave it too long, if we go too far, we won't be able to see the smoke behind. We won't be able to see the guide that's there for us. We will have to backtrack. And that's hard to do, isn't it? We don't like going back. It's much easier to keep going forward. And what we have to do is keep those regular fires each week that's guiding us on our way forward. We are guided by that light through our lives. As I said, for me, the bonfire night, and it was a real fun time. I'd have the Friday off work, and I'd go back and I'd stay with my parents, and we'd collect all the rubbish up. We'd build the fire, and we'd stack it high and wide, as I've said, and we'd build the biggest fire that we could. And the fire was built from all the things that we didn't want. All the rubbish that nobody wanted went on the fire. It wasn't of use for anybody anymore, and it was burnt. And God talks a bit by his people a bit like this. If you just come with me to Ezekiel, brethren and sisters. Help if I looked in the right place for Ezekiel, wouldn't it? Ezekiel 15. Verses 1 to 5. So Ezekiel 15, 1 to 5, and it's entitled in my version, The Outcast Vine. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, How is the wood of the vine better than any other wood? The vine branch which is among the trees of the forest. Is wood taken from it to make any object? Or can a man make a peg from it to hang any vessel on? Instead, it is thrown in the fire for fuel. The fire devours both ends of it, and its middle is burned. Is it useful for any work? Indeed, when it was whole, no object could be made from it. How much less will it be useful for any work when the fire has devoured it and it is burnt? And have you ever seen a vine tree and that the branches are knurled and twisted? And the way they grow means that they lack strength. You can't use it for construction. He says, can any man make a peg from it? You can't do anything useful with it. You can't even make a peg that you hang something on because it's not straight or strong. The grain goes in all the wrong directions. It's no good for carpentry. And as I've said, Ezekiel said, nobody would hang anything on it because it's no strength. And the fact is, it's only good for one thing, growing fruit. And again, thinking about us, brethren and sisters. You know, that's why God chose it as a symbol of his people, because it had one task, to grow fruit. You couldn't use it for other things. It could only be used for growing fruit, to multiply God's people. And God says, just like the vine tree, if you don't do that, you are good for nothing. If you don't bear fruit, we are only good, if we don't bear fruit, we are only good for burning. Again, that's the challenge for you and I, isn't it, brethren and sisters? Do we produce fruit? Are we doing what God has asked us to do? Or are we just fuel for the fire? Nothing but barren trees. Occasionally on the farm, we would get a different kind of fire. We would get a grass fire. And it was usually towards the end of the summer when it was hot and dry. And the dead grass would catch on fire sometimes and burn. But being dead grass, there was not a lot of substance to it. So the fire would burn very quickly, not do much damage other than burn the dead grass away. And then it would all the old dead grass would be gone. But here's the thing, very quickly, you would start to get green shoots of new growth because all the dead was cleared away. And again, that's what we do here on a Sunday, isn't it, brethren and sisters? We come to clear away the dead stuff, to get rid of it, so the green shoots can start to grow again. And the dead, unproductive grass, that we clear that away, we burn that off to make way for the new growth. And it's an ongoing process, brethren and sisters, isn't it? We clear it all away, and then we go home and we get involved in all the stuff that we get involved in that we have to, because we have to live. And then the dead and productive stuff starts to grow in again, doesn't it? And take over, and we come back here again and we clear it all out. And then the green shoots start to grow, and it just keeps going again and again. But that's why we need to be back here. And Scripture has another idea. It's the same idea. It's a different metaphor, but it's the same idea. And it's the refiner's fire. And Scripture talks about the refiner's fire in much the same way. And the idea is the fire is used to purge, to get rid of the dross, get rid of the unproductiveness. I heard Brother Matthew Blewett, it was, talk about the refiner. He's from South Africa. And so he spent a lot of time thinking about gold. They talked about it at school a lot. And they were taught about it. And there was this really interesting thing that he mentioned. He said, the way they knew that the gold was ready and was refined enough is that the refiner could see his face reflected in the surface of the gold. And you can think of that phrase is there in Scripture about seeing his face in the gold and purge you in the refiner's fire, and you'll see his face reflected. And when they started heating the gold up and started melting, there was a surface on it that was dirty and unclean, and they would drag the dross off to one side, and they'd heat up more, and they'd drag the dross off to one side, and eventually, when they could see their faces reflected in the pure mirror-like finish of the gold, that's when the gold was purified and ready. And that idea is there in Scripture for you and I, brethren. This is the same idea, that the fire is that refining purge to get rid of those things that we don't want. Luke 11. Luke 11, 33 to 36. The lamp of the body is my title. When he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And there's two ideas here in Scripture, brethren and sisters, in these words. And the first idea is the idea of allowing the light to illuminate us. And that's what we've been talking about. Allowing our Heavenly Father to guide us. And that's the idea we have been considering this morning. The idea of how using God's Word to see where we are going. We can be vessels filled with the light of God's Word. And it's just like the candle, the lamp. We can use those to illuminate the room. But the second idea here, brethren and sisters, is the comparison between light and dark. And that comparison, brethren and sisters, goes right back to in the beginning. And in the beginning, what's the first thing? And that principle happens right through Scripture. What's the first thing that God does? He divides light and dark when he creates this world. And that comparison runs right through Scripture. And it's there, this comparison between light and dark. And it's warning us, make sure that we are following the true light. There's other lights we could follow. We have to choose the right one. Make sure that you are in the light and not in the darkness. And that idea goes right through Scripture. And the night of the bonfire, there were other fires burning around the countryside. And if we had been going through that field and started following the light of another fire, we would have gone off course, wouldn't we? We would have ended up somewhere else. And Jesus says to you and I, brethren and sisters, make sure that we follow the right light. Make sure it's the gospel truth. There may be other lights out there, but we only one light will lead us to safety. And so the warning sounds out of Scripture, doesn't it, brethren and sisters? That be careful who we follow. Be careful where we are led. Make sure the light is true. Make sure that light is salvation. And so as we pull our thoughts together, brethren and sisters, I'm sure that you've got a number of pictures running through your minds this morning. So where does all those pictures leave us? Well, right here, our fire burns brightest, brethren and sisters. Right here, in God's ecclesia, our fire burns brightest. But soon we'll be leaving this place. And that's when the real challenge will come. And so, brethren and sisters, as we come now to this bread and wine that we have before us, here together our fire burns bright. Together we eat bread. Together we drink wine. To remind ourselves, to strengthen ourselves, to leave that trail of burning fires to guide us, to clear away the old things that are hindering us, and to brighten our fires so that they may burn bright in the week to come. We are guided by the light, aren't we, brethren and sisters, as we leave this place? This is the true light. This is salvation. Jesus is the light of the world. And may we follow that light the whole of our lives. And then so, brethren and sisters, God willing, one day very soon, having followed that light through our lives, like I said, God willing, one day very soon, we will bask in the divine light of God's glory in his kingdom.